Pleasure to have you back here. Don't worry, I'm just on for another 15 minutes. I know it feels like torture. No demos on this one, okay? And a little, no technical stuff either. So, all good. I hope you enjoyed the last presentation, and thanking you kindly for coming back from the break. Let's start with a little business productivity, okay? Look, just to give a 2-second introduction to the maturity model, I don't know if you know this, but we started 6 years ago with this. And from the last 6 years, we went from the three maturity models that you see there, core infrastructure, business productivity, and application platform. We even created some business models. And now we just released the brand new 2011 models. And I'm going to show you a little bit of the business productivity one, just a taste, okay? So you can see how you can sell to your customers on a more solution-based approach, and not just focus on the technical aspects. So, I hope that this is very relevant for you. Let's look a little bit at the business productivity optimization model. This is what the model that we released on 2006 looked like. How many of you are aware or where have been using this model in the past? Or at least seen it once, maybe half a time? Okay. So, what this model is very simple. Is you grab these capabilities, like collaboration, unified communication, etc., and you assess them through four stages of maturity. When you do this with your customer, what do you find out? You find out where they stand. What do they have? And when you do this, you can actually tell them, well, for what you want to do, you would have to be at this other maturity level. Because the first one, being basic, is just being unstructured. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's just unstructured. The second one is being just structured. And by you listening to my words and seeing that I'm using different words than standardized, you understand what I mean. The third one, being rationalized, would be optimized. That's where you don't start buying a whole bunch of stuff because you already bought it. This is where you are actually using it, okay? And maturely benefiting from it. And last but not least, dynamic. Now, let me show you a little bit what changed. Well, you think that this, oh my God, this became huge, right? No, it didn't. We just opened it up. You think that this changed, but it didn't. The only thing that changed, if you look very closely, is one thing got added, which is content creation. All the others remained the same and were just polished up. They're just cleaned up because through the last 6 years, we learned a lot about this. So this is a model of about 180-something questions where you ask your customers, and you don't have to apply the 180-something questions. You ask your customer, so, Mr. Customer, where are you right now? And if he says basic, then you don't ask the questions for standardized. You see my point? So you don't end up answering everything. But once you do that, you realize exactly where they are. They realize where they are. And it gives you a great communication tool for finding out where they want to go and what they need. So again, this is great consulting selling approach, and it's extremely proven. You don't have to believe me, 15,000 customers worldwide, okay? 15,000 customers worldwide have been assessed successfully and happily through this model. And we have over 300 case studies of satisfied customers that use this for their strategic planning. Now let me tell you a small secret. If you were the one who participated on the assessment and on the strategic planning development, what's your benefit? I don't know. That's a lot of cost of sales. Not sure. Well, if you participate in that, you know exactly what they want. You know exactly where they stand, and you know exactly what they're going to buy. Right? How much is that worth? Not too bad. Not too bad. So what are we looking at? We're looking at collaboration. And that's these are capabilities and these are workloads, by the way. And the maturity, it's assessed at the workload level, not at the capability. So you don't say somebody is basic on collaboration. You would say somebody is basic on workspaces, okay? Just so that little clarification on some changes we made to the model. Well, with that said, as you can see, collaboration, unified communications, enterprise content management, search, reporting and analysis, and content creation. Let's go through them for a second because it's only going to be 15 minutes. The point is for you to look at customer scenarios And you can do this using these models, or you can use just, you know, business needs. I mean, whatever works for you. You don't have to use this. I just want to show it to you so that you have one more tool that you can decide from, right? This has worked marvelous for a lot of people. If we go into the first one, which is collaboration, this is what you're assessing. And I know you can read the slide as fast as I can read it, so, you know, why go through the whole thing? Just look at a couple of things here. It's very simple. What you're assessing is portals, social computing, project management, and workspaces. Let me give you an example of one, which would be project management, just so that we cover some examples here. Well, when somebody tells you, I'm opening a project management office, right? And I'm going to need some control over this. Well, you can do several things. You can either just go in there and give them a demo of all the new great technologies of Project and Project Server, or you can go give them the assessment and say, well, what do you have and where do you want to go? Either approach works. You choose which one works for you. What are we doing at the end? We're selling Project Server 2010. I mean, you end up with the same sale, but just two approaches to the same sale. You can do a consultative approach, which would be based on the questions, because the questions are already made for you. Or you can do the just direct sales to the product. Sometimes the direct sales to the product will not give you, or will not uncover, better said, all the sideline opportunities that you could have, right? If you just go and sell that, then what are you doing? You're just going and selling that. But if you do a little bit more questioning and prodding with all this model, you're going to be able to find out all the underlying opportunities, but more importantly, the reason why they're doing this. And if you know the reason why they're taking this action, then you may be able to help also three or four needs and foresee some three or four new needs. Interesting. In other words, what you're offering now is for all levels and complexity, and you're going to be able to see that again, whether you demo it, but more importantly, if you assess it. Let's look at the next one, unified communications. And here what you're doing is you're integrating the questions from messaging, IM, conferencing, and voice. You know what's the fantastic thing here? Most of the time, we just do one of these. Either we go after the voice, you know, the integrated VoIP solution, or we go into the IM and presence, or we just go for the migration of email. But doing this type of assessment, all of a sudden you uncover, and I heard yesterday from one of the architects, one of the largest customers here in Belgium, he said, I just demonstrated OCS to my internal people, and they loved it. Now I need to go deploy it. And I asked him, I said, okay, fantastic. So you looked at that. But did you look at the integrated security and possible presence capability with your email? He says, no, I missed that. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? You can do a lot of discovery, a lot of integrated capabilities when you use this type of approach. So let me show you the next one, enterprise content management. There's a lot of good SharePoint in here, but I don't know if you see the word SharePoint. You see my point? You're finding the need before you're offering the product. And this is great because we're talking about information management, process efficiency, and e-discovery. And these are all current terms. This model has just been completely revamped and completely updated. And I really recommend that you pay a good look at it, okay? With that said, let me go to the next one, which is enterprise search. That has two very important aspects. The first one would be pretty much just information access. But the other one that the fast technology that we have, you know, has been incredible at discovering is all the richness in the user experience that you can provide. Let me give you an example. When people do internal searches, they don't just want to find what's on their desktop and what's on the intranet. They want to find related searches. They want to find what other people that searched this found most relevant. They want to see pictures. They want to see files. They want to see content. They want to see applications. And they want to see stuff that you promote to them. And all that you can do with this type of user experience versus just providing search. You see my point? Now think of the size of one of the projects that I just mentioned versus the other. One was just insert an appliance, right? Or just turn on the feature of search on SharePoint. The other one was start a search project. Okay, let me keep on going. This may be to some of you to the liking and some others not. What about BI? Well, reporting and analysis is a huge opportunity for all of us, and it is one of the top priorities in CIO's minds, and it's remained like that for the last what, 6-7 years at least. And what's very interesting here is that you're not only talking about dashboards and analytics, you're also talking about report management and generation. Let's go a little bit into that for a second. Well, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say here that you could stay only with a competing product. You can say we're only talking about a portal. But truly, our strategy is a lot richer than that. Our strategy focuses not only on providing the right information, but also the right time and the right format. That means that I can see it and manipulate it on SharePoint coming from a SQL Server, but that I can also take it offline. And you know what? I've seen this in many, many demos, but I haven't seen this deployed in many, many customers. And I think there's a huge opportunity there in the fact that you're not only talking about the back end, but you're actually talking about the automation on the front end. I'll say this differently. How many of you are selling the adequation and the creation of the Excel spreadsheets that consume and act as the reports for the BI of your customers? So what I'm saying is, yes, I understand that you're capitalizing on the back end. My question to you is, are you capitalizing on the front end as well? There are some very good things that you can do here. Well, let me cover the last two and then wrap up. We have content creation, which I said was the new boy on the block. It is basically authoring, multi-device support, user accessibility, and interoperability. And this is what most people have been doing for a long time, but we just didn't have it in the model, so we found it correctly to add it into the model and assess it, okay? Well, how does this tie in with everything we've been talking about this morning? Well, it's very simple. For everything that you just saw, we have offers that are on-premise. We have offers today that are online. And truly, it is your choice how and why you offer each one of these to your customers. Highly recommend that you don't just get stuck on one. Because let me tell you something. I love to talk money. Would you like to talk money with me for 1 minute? Let me show you what I'm talking about. This is based on 500 seats. I know that's a big sale. That's a big number for what you guys are seeing right now. But you know what? Divide this by two. Again, like I said, if you don't like it, divide it by 16. It's all good. It's still a good number. 500 seats at $10 per seat per month. That's a total revenue of $60,000. You know how much you get in fees the first year? $10,000. Let me explain what I'm saying here in very simple terms. If you sell the on-premise solution, fine. You sell the deployment, you sell the license, you make some money, and you leave, right? How much money did you make? Well, whatever you made there. Let's say it was $50,000. That's it, $50,000. You sell this, you get $10,000 a year. What's better? I don't know. You know what? Because some customers are going to buy this. So it's either $50,000 from you or $10,000 from somebody else. Why don't you offer both? If the customer wants to have it on-premise, then you earn $50,000. If the customer wants to have it online, you earn 10 a year. What's wrong with each model? There's nothing wrong. They're two different models. But if you don't participate, you see my point, right? So it's easy. Whether it is 10,000 or 5,000, what I realized, and it didn't take me too long to talk to some partners who were selling this already, is that people are making monthly revenue guaranteed in this economy. Monthly revenue. I just realized I turned to Spanish and I spoke louder. Okay? Why? Because which one of you wants to raise their hand saying, I don't want security in this economy? Ah, you see my point? This is security. You sell this and you have a guaranteed income. Well, guaranteed in the sense that as long as they keep using it, right? But more of a guaranteed income than you say, I sell one project and then I leave and I got to find a new customer now. So this is incredible. Well, let me put it to you differently. If you sell, and this is based on an analysis of four partners, 41 deals, and the average deal size was 141 seats, okay? The percentage that you get on managed services, $35 a seat. Business consulting and customization, that's all for you, $66 a seat. Migration and integration, that's all for you, $46 a seat. You see, this is like, I don't know how to make that sound for the cashier, but you got the point, right? Ding, ding, ding. There you go. You decide. How many of these do you want? Now, I'm trying to place this in front of you so you understand the opportunity is there. Are the margins the same? Are the project economics the same? Are the practice economics the same? Let me stop here for a second. I'm going to spend some good 20 seconds on this. You're comparing project economics versus project economics. And with all due respect to you good people, that's wrong. Because what you should be comparing is practice economics versus practice economics. In other words, if you sell a deal of 50 versus a deal of 10, you lost 40. But if you sell a deal of 50, okay, and how many deals of those did you sell? Well, four, 200,000, fine. But you sell 20 deals of 10 a year, how much money did you make? You see my point? And there's one small secret. I'm talking at 3 years. You can make a ton more money if you make recurring revenue than if you make one-time revenue. Your choice. Absolutely your choice. I highly recommend that you look at this. I highly recommend that you take a lot of attention, because maybe you're going to say, not at the beginning it's going to be the same money. No, but you don't have to cannibalize your existing base, and you don't have to fight against your existing base of revenue. You can sell incremental, and that's the point here. So with that said, let me present to you gladly and thank him extremely for sharing his experience and his deep, deep knowledge on this space. Danny, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name because he told me that it is from Amsterdam and us Mexicans don't speak that very well. Okay, so Danny is the founder and CTO of Wartell. Now, this is pretty impressive, and that's why I want you and I beg of you to give him a big round of applause, because he not only has 100 active online services deals, he's gone from the smallest deal of 25 seats to the largest of 12,000, which is super impressive. He has been chosen as a worldwide Microsoft Online Partner of the Year, and you know what? I would highly recommend that you listen to him. So please, welcome.
Thank you.
My pleasure, sir.
Thanks. So, how many of you here have been selling online services? About 25%, I say. Is that correct? And do you like it? Do you like it? Okay, great. So, let me change the presentation here. I didn't like it at all. About 4 years ago, Steve Ballmer, during the WPC, the Worldwide Partner Conference, introduced Microsoft Online Services, Microsoft selling our business, doing our work, you know, and I hated it. I hated Steve Ballmer for taking away our business. At least that's what I thought of it. I hated Steve Ballmer for doing exactly the same thing as we do, you know, install Exchange servers. But install them in the cloud, not on-premise. We used to install Exchange servers, you know, locally, on-premise. We used to install SharePoint servers or OCS servers or LCS, what it was called back then. I truly, truly, truly hated it. So what I did as a company, as what I did within my company, is I started talking to a lot of people. I started talking to Microsoft people back over in Holland. And I started to get a little bit informed about what Microsoft Online Services truly can do for you and truly could do for us as a company. And to be honest, I changed around. I changed around from being pretty negative or really negative, to be honest, to a company which, or to a person or to a company, which at this point truly embraces Microsoft Online Services and make sure that online services is in every deal we do as a company. But first, let me... All right. But first, let me introduce myself. So, Wartell. Wartell is a company based in Holland, Western Europe. We were founded in 1979. I am the founder of the company. I'm also the chief technical officer or CTO of the company. And the great thing about my job role is that I go into our customers, I tell them a lot of technical stuff, and I get them to sign a contract. In other words, I'm a salesperson as well. A lot of my time actually is being spent on sales. We have about 120 people. most of them being technicians. 12 of the people who work in our company are sales folks, so people who actually go to our customers and do account management, and we changed the concept of account management, at least in our definition. I'll tell you a little bit about it later on. We focus currently on the upper mid-market and enterprise customers. So mainly we focus on customers with 250 seats or more. We do not focus on small customers, which we used to do before. So we used to focus on, let's say, the SMB space. Currently, we hold 19 Microsoft competencies. So we are 19-fold Microsoft certified partner. And of course, when we change the MPN, the Microsoft Partner Network is being changed in a few days from now, on the 1st of October, we will lose a lot of those gold competencies. And to be honest, I don't really care because 19 is a little bit too much. We focus as a company on technical and consultancy services. We used to be an infrastructure partner. So about 3 or 4 years ago, we used to be a partner who went into our customers, installed some Exchange servers, installed some Windows desktops, maybe install a Windows server for the backend, AD or what have you, and then went away. And basically we did that for about 300 or 400 times a year. So basically what we did is we changed our company from a typical infrastructure company who made money out of installing Exchange servers to a company focusing on a lot larger size customers and doing those deals not as much as we used to, but making the deal sites larger in total and focusing on consultancy services and repeating consultancy services instead of one-off deployments or one-off installs. Last July, during the Worldwide Partner Conference, we got awarded with three awards, to be honest. One award's not on here, which is UC Partner of the Year. The other two are Microsoft Online Services Partner of the Year for Western Europe. For Holland, I'm sorry. No, Online Services Partner of the Year worldwide. And we became Partner of the Year for Holland. So it was a blast. We really had a good time over there because, you know, winning those awards gets you into all the nice parties and make sure that you can have lunch with all sorts of people from Microsoft. And that's pretty nice because you get to spend some time with, you know, the CEO, Steve Ballmer, but also with the programmers, which is great to do because you learn from them and you learn the way they view their own products. Currently, we have a little bit over 100 customers online, which are across the board. So they are smaller customers, larger customers, customers within the healthcare space, within the public sector, but also in financial services or commercial services, professional services. We focus as a company towards the somewhat larger type of customers. However, we do take on smaller customers, which for us provide a marketing benefit. So well-known companies within Holland or well-known companies worldwide or within the Dutch market space are potential customers for ours. I will spend some time on some of these customers later on and tell you how we did the sales process and how we actually got them to sign a 12,000 seat deal. But first, I'll spend some time on some other subjects. The transition for us from being a traditional infrastructure partner, so from being a traditional partner which used to install Exchange or Windows or small business servers, to a company focusing on consultancy services, was a decision which had to do with basically corporate strategy. So we changed our corporate strategy a bit to make sure that we can actually provide consultancy services. We had to do a lot of organizational changes. Some of them affected our technical folks. Some of them affected our salespeople. We actually did turn around or change around some of the sales folks within our company from being a one-off sales guy to being more of an account manager. And those are really two different types of personalities. Next to that, we focused on sales and marketing. We made sure that everybody within our company knows how to sell online services. And in the end, we got financial success. This year, we're about 23% of our total revenue is impacted in some way by online services. And these could be services like Life at EDU. Are you familiar with Life at EDU? Who is familiar with Life at EDU? Okay, well, about 15%. Life at EDU is a free email service of Microsoft to customers, or to customers in the education space, to be exact. So Microsoft offers Exchange for free, hosted Exchange for free to schools or to universities. So part of our business comes from Life at EDU, part of our business comes from BPaaS. So recurring revenues, like the partner of record fee, do not apply to Life at EDU. However, it's a very interesting business for us. Maybe I'll share some information with you later on if I have some time left. So the organizational changes we had to do, they were around customers, they were around, you know, people within our company being able to tell the story and doing a transition from IT to business. And basically the BPIO model and the Corio model and the EPIO model, which were discussed in the previous presentations, are models we currently use a lot in a model we actually created ourselves, which encompasses those different types of sales models. So looking at our entire organization, we view our customers, or we view our organization to be customer-centric. So in the end, the only thing that really matters to us is a happy customer which stays with us for at least 10 years. That's not going to happen, but we hope that they stay with us for 10 years. And that's what we focus on. So basically for us, it doesn't matter if they use online services. It doesn't matter if they use traditional on-premise services. It doesn't matter if we need to install one or more Exchange servers, basically, or we consume them out of the cloud. I at least know that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, 97% of all customers will consume email out of the cloud and not through on-premise servers. So I do believe that being a customer-centric organization for us means that we inform our customers about what online services or cloud services are and what they can bring to our customers. So we basically, it doesn't matter to us. Online, on-premise, hybrid. Another thing is that we sell on trust. We basically sell to our customers on a relationship that was created between an account manager or an account team and a customer. And this doesn't always apply, especially to new customers, of course. But a typical customer, doesn't matter which size it is very eager to buy something out of you if you do have a relationship based on trust. If they do believe that the thing that you are selling them as an account manager, as a technical person, as whatever your job role is, if they trust you and if they know that where you're coming from is not, I wanted to say bullshit, but I can't. So it's not BS. You know, they will actually trust you and buy from you. So if you go into a customer of all types of sizes and you tell them that online services or Microsoft Online Services or BPaaS, and I really hate the acronym, if BPaaS is the right thing for them to do or to purchase instead of an on-premise server, they will actually buy it from you. So depending on the size, larger customers are very eager normally to go into the contracts. And they want to look at the contracts and they would want to look at the legal details. They want to view the service level agreements and blah, blah, blah. Smaller customers, well, typically most of them don't care. And they just sign a contract and go online. At least that's what we see with our customers. As long as that basis of trust is there. So a typical salesperson or a typical account manager within our company needs to know the story. They need to know what to tell to a customer when they're selling online services. During the opening keynote, somebody mentioned that, you know, the data center in Washington, D.C. or in Ireland or in Amsterdam has those big containers in them which host all these servers, which online services are actually hosted on. To be exact, one of those containers contains 2,300 servers or something like 8 petabytes worth of data. And those data centers can be operated and at 100 times cheaper than a typical company can do themselves. So that's why Microsoft or other vendors are able to provide online services like Exchange Online for a rate of €4 per month per user and offer them 25 gigabytes worth of email, which is a lot. If you want to do that as a company yourself, or you want to sell it to a company as a salesperson, in most of the cases, you're not able to do that. The cost will be too much. So those types of stories about Dublin, about Ireland, about the data centers, about why there's good business or there's a good model for customers if they choose online services are the stories which we actually practice and do a lot with our salespeople internally. Then we changed around the way we operate. So traditionally, a couple of years ago, we used to be an infrastructure partner, which know how to do one thing, install Exchange servers, install Windows servers, install SSEM, and what have you, or SMS it was called back then. We changed around our company to be more of an IT-to-business company. So right now, we do talk to IT managers or CTOs or CIOs, but we try to start off the business or the sales conversation with business people. So we find some CXO-level person, some manager, or some corporate director or whatever within the company who doesn't ask us for an Exchange server, but asks us for a solution to look at the workflows within his company, or needs a solution for doing e-discovery because some of his personnel left or whatever. And those types of sales or those types of sales approaches really give us the possibility to focus on the process rather than on the technical bits behind it. Well, online services then bring a greater opportunity to us, basically, because normally you would have to get all this infrastructure in place before you could start doing business process automation or before you could do business process remodeling. So you would have to look at all these different infrastructure bits, and in the end, there would be no more money left for you to do business process remodeling. So normally Dell or Microsoft or HP or whatever would get all the money that was supposed to go to us as a consultancy firm. They would actually charge money for those servers, or Microsoft would actually charge money for those licenses, and all that money would come out of our services revenue opportunity. So if you were to sell 3 servers through a company, and 3 servers would cost you €18,000 or whatever, that's €18,000 less services opportunity to that specific customer. And we actually make sure that this happens. So we actually make sure that the budget which customers have for a project is actually being spent on services. So we changed our business model from being a company which went across the board, a company which basically gave services to everybody in every company that raised his hand and said, "Wortel, I like you, I want to do business to you," to a company which is much more verticalized. So we focus on healthcare, we focus on government, we focus on education, universities mainly. We changed around our IT staff or our IT pros to be more and more consultants. And those consultants can be really technical, architectural type of folks, or can be consultants who focus on the business process and everything which has to do with creating a better business for our customers. So basically, we had to change our staffing. Some of that was done by reskilling or training our people. Some of it was done by recruiting new IT pros or new consultants, if you want. Also, we changed around our sales folks. So we took them to a class, which is called the Frontline Business School, which is a joint venture between Microsoft and HP, in which salespeople are being learned how to do solution selling, much rather than product sales. Finally, in the end, this allowed us, or this allowed a lot of those account managers to do a conversation to business managers or CXO type of persons within our customers. However, not everybody, not all salespeople were able to make the change. So finally, we did had to let go of some of those people, and we did have to hire other people. Looking at our sales force, one of the things we also did is changed our compensation model. We always compensated our sales based on margins. We never compensated them on revenue. So for the people, for the account managers within our organization, they used to get their money out of the first time sell to a customer and the projected margin which was in that first time sell. So for instance, if they would do a 100,000 euro deal, it's easy to calculate, 50,000 euros of that 100,000 deal was hardware based or software based, they would get a typical margin out of that of 5,000 euros, which is 10%. Then if the other 50,000 euros was basically services revenue, the margin we make on services revenue is about 30%, 32 to be exact. So they would get 15,000 of the 50,000 euros as a margin for the service revenue. Finally, if you accumulate that, it would be 20,000 euros. And based on that, their sales compensation would be calculated. So 15 or 20% or something like that would go into their pocket if they reached a certain goal. We changed our business model, or we changed the compensation model towards a model where we do monthly payments, basically. So we look at the margins every customer, or the total margins that a customer, that an account manager influences each month, and compensate them on that. Of course, it took some time to get this model into place because they had to build up a monthly revenue stream. But this basically allows us to compensate in a much, much easier way. Another thing is that our salespeople needed to evangelize the cloud. Basically, they had to know how to tell the story, what to say to our customers, and how to convince customers that cloud is not something scary out there. Because mainly, a lot of customers are really just afraid to put their data in the data center of Microsoft instead of keeping it on-premise. So they have to know, basically, the cloud story. And I cannot tell you enough that they actually have to know the cloud story. We gave them a lot of training, so we could make sure that they were actually equipped with all the storytelling needed. Another thing which we tell our salespeople is that, and what we tell our customers is that cloud is not different than what they're supposed to, than what they're used to. Consuming an email or consuming an instant message conversation, and you will see that in the next presentation, for a customer or an end user, has exactly the same experience whether the service is on-premise or in the cloud. Of course, there are some differences between the current version and the next version of BPaaS, which will be launched. But within the next version of BPaaS, which will be launched, the customer experience is almost on par. It's almost the same. There are a few workloads which will not be supported. Next to that, we made sure as a company that cloud or online services, Microsoft Online Services, is in every deal we do. So basically, if we sell a local implementation, if we sell a Windows infrastructure a deal or some type of other deal, we make sure that they purchase at least 25 seats or 5 seats or 15 seats of Microsoft Online Services, put it in there, because it's a huge opportunity for us to upskill them in the future towards cloud. If you look at our sales process, we created something which is called the impact model, which is basically a vision and scope model. And it's all based around BPIO, Core.io, App.io, what was told in the previous presentation. So we look at the current IT situation of a customer. Together with them, we envision where they can stand within 3 years from now, and basically work out through something which is called the Factor 4 analyse, Factor 4 analysis. It's available in English as well and in French. And we basically assess a customer, assess the end users of a customer, about what they think of their current IT and where they think their current IT should be. So together with the customer, we actually create a roadmap and fill in the gaps of that roadmap, which can take us 2 years or 3 years to complete. But it's an ongoing conversation. And it's an ongoing conversation not about technology, which is a great conversation to have as well, but mainly with IT managers or technicians. It's an ongoing conversation which you can have with CXO level kind of people. Then we created something which is called the Cloud Masterclass. You know, cloud is hot. Everybody wants to know, at least, about online services, about cloud services. All of our customers are really interested in what cloud services can bring to them. Not all of them will purchase online services, but they're at least interested in what it is and what it can bring to them. So what we did is we created something which was called the Cloud Masterclass. And basically what the Cloud Masterclass does is it takes one CXO level person from a company, from a customer, and one IT manager or a CIO or a technician or whatever, puts them in a class together with 10 other companies, and we basically tell them during a course of 2 days what Microsoft Online Services or cloud services in total can bring to them. So we charge our customers for this, 1,600 euros per person. But next to charging them, we also ask of them to at least purchase 25 seats for a year so we can actually make sure that they will use online services in the end. And after that, we do a proof of concept, which shows what the benefits of online services are. So looking at the vision and scope model, here it is. Basically, I told you about the first part. We set priorities. We define results. We create an architecture and do some governance around it. Basically, in the end, it's a 10 to 50 day engagement. So it's a 10 to 50 day services opportunity only to do this model with a customer. And of course, 10 days is a little bit too much for a small company of 25 seats. We focus on customers of 250 seats and up. Microsoft did a few examinations about, you know, how much revenue partners make. They looked and saw that $140 was the average revenue that a typical system integrator would make out of cloud services. They also did an analysis on the way that deals are actually being closed. Microsoft Online Services deals are actually being closed. And this sheet has been over the Worldwide Partner Conference a couple of times. And basically what it tells you is that there's two types of customers. There's small and mid-sized customers, and there's some larger customers. Small and mid-sized customers are the customers which you can talk to and which you can convince that they should transition over to online services without doing a proof of concept ever. And there's the larger customers which basically would either drive a trial or would want you to do a trial or a proof of concept. For us, we focus on proof of concepts. We hate trials. A trial, in my opinion, is where a customer goes out and does the experiences, the online environment themselves. And I love proof of concepts because I can actually charge money for it. So we created based on the Microsoft proof of concept white paper. We changed it around a little bit, and we created a standardized 5-day proof of concept model, which we charge 5 days or 5,000 euros for. Also, our salespeople work very closely with our direct marketing people. We do a lot of different things in that. We have a blog, which is called bpossrocks.com. Currently, it has about 12,000 page views a day, which is pretty okay, and it only talks about what online services can do for customers. Next to that, we did a direct email with our company building in front, so we are based in a church, you know, and it drove some attention. Next to that, we had a lot of success with telemarketing. We contacted a lot of people, and we had a large hit rate. And basically the only reason, in my personal opinion, why we got such a high hit rate was because we did a story in which we asked customers if they were interested in someone coming over to their company and telling them about online services and cloud services and what that could do to their business. From there, you can actually start the TCO conversation. So I just wanted to pick one customer from this entire stack of customers. One customer is SkyTeam. SkyTeam is the international airline alliance between Delta, Air France, KLM, Alitalia, and 10 or so other customers. We came in contact with them about 2 years ago, about 18 months ago or something like that. And they actually wanted a situation where they could work globally, where they could actually collaborate globally, but also do an instant messaging and email on a global scale without having the budget to actually set up an entire IT environment. Next to that, SkyTeam is an international airline alliance. So the SkyTeam office is a very small office, but attached to their organization, there are 600 or 700 more people who actually work for the airlines, but who do not come into the SkyTeam offices. Their long-term situation is not always clear. Sometimes they will be part of airlines. Some years they will be part of a different organization. So basically, because they're uncertain of their status, because they have a lot of fluctuations within the number of users, they wanted a secure environment where they can work on a global scale. Online services was the way to go to them. We could have made a lot more money to sell them servers and do a first one-off implementation, but I really agree with Eduardo that our contract currently is a multi-year contract, and the contract in itself allows us to do recurring revenue and have an ongoing conversation with this customer. So if you look at the financial impact of our deals, there's two types of revenue we get out of every deal. There's partner of record fees, which is actually the margin you get by selling or by reselling BPaaS, which is 18% the first year. Please note this very carefully, 18% the first year, but 6% the second year. So there's a huge difference in there. But basically, it's recurring revenue on the services provided by Microsoft. So for us, partner of record fee is about 1% of our entire revenue. And it's growing. It's growing every year because it accumulates with all these other deals. Next to that, the latter part, or the largest part of the revenue we actually generate from our customers, is not partner of record fee, but is actual consulting services. And we created a management model, or a managed model, around consultancy services, where we do an update every 3 months of business processes and questions that customers might run into with SharePoint or with business process modeling, which we can handle with SharePoint in most of the times. So here's where you see the huge changes in revenue coming. Initial migration is, you know, it's interesting. But it's the same as installing a server, the same as installing a small business server, or a Windows server, or an Exchange server. It's a one-time deal. You will not do the same deal next month, or the month after, or 3 months after. I was asked not to do any Q&A because of some time constraints we have. So it's my pleasure to introduce Ilse van Kriekingen. Thank you. Who is the technical solutions professional, TSP, for Unified Communications. So thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
Okay, so first thing, switch presentation. Unless you want to see the same deck twice. See if this thing works. Okay, so my deck is about, surprisingly enough for some who may know me, it's about unified communications, business value and its capabilities. Let's see if it works. So my name is Ilse van Kriekingen. As Danny said, I work for Microsoft in Belgium. And I try to convince people about the power of unified communications. And as I know that this is the I3 Connect, you are here to get to know one another, interact, and to be inspired. I hope that you walk out and that you are ready to sell that business to your customers. Yes. Okay. You've seen this slide. You've seen this slide just before when Eduardo presented it, the future of productivity. So you know what it is. We offer your customers what they want, whether it be on-prem, in the cloud, or it would be hybrid, and that went a bit too far. So you can see that over there. Let me see, I'm getting used to the thing. Now, what is Microsoft Unified Communications? What is it? First of all, it's mail. Sending and receiving emails using the best server there is, Microsoft Exchange Server. I'm a fan. Yeah. Next to that, next to using, and as you can see in Outlook 2010, OWA 2010, it's not the best feature, but it could be useful features. You can actually ignore a conversation. You never know which one you want to ignore, so you can do that. Another thing that you've got in Unified Communications is, of course, SharePoint. The best tool there is to do document sharing and a ton of other things. So if you want to know more about that, I'm going to point you in another direction. But another thing that you see here is the integration. Unified Communications, one means to communicate. Use your OWA, use your SharePoint. And when you see in SharePoint, you can see that Jeff is online. Start an instant messaging conversation from within the same portal. Start it from there. You can see that. Yeah? Another thing that you see here is a new client. It's not Office Communication Server anymore. We now rebranded it to Link. Like the name? The answer is yes. And now I'll ask it again. You like the name? Yes, you do. Okay. So this is Link. So this is the new client. It's one client. One client. You've got video in the client, and you can do desktop sharing from within the same client. No need to start looking for that live meeting again. It's from within the same client. Oh, and what if the other party doesn't have Link installed? We've got an attendant for that. So they will install the attendant and they can join the conversation without any issues. Yeah. So that's our Unified Communications Exchange, SharePoint, Office, and we've got our instant messaging and we've got our conferencing. Another big thing, and I'm really fond of this one, is in Exchange 2010, and if you're using Outlook 2010 or OWA, you've got the mail tips. Now, you can see a few things. Now, in the beginning, when I first heard about that feature, I was like, yeah, who's going to want to have these mail tips pop up when sending an email? But now, after finishing the holidays, July, August, September, and people are still on holiday, it's kind of nice that you see they're out of office in the mail tip, so you know immediately that person won't reply. So these are little things. It won't prevent you from hitting that send button. We will never kick you if you hit the send button, but this might prevent you from sending that mail and wasting time and sending it immediately to the correct person. So this is just to improve user experience. All this, new ways from any location that you can connect with anyone using Exchange, whether it's online, whether it's on-prem, using Link online, on-prem, and using your favorite Office applications. Yeah. I think that's the last one, the voicemail system, because I haven't touched the voice piece. In Exchange, 2007 already, 2010, you've got unified messaging. Unified messaging is a way that when people call you and they leave you a voice message, you get it as a mail in your inbox. So you don't need to dial 12, 30, or 555, or whatever number you need to dial. And you know how it is. You've got four new messages. Oh, shit. Which messages are there? When it's in your inbox, immediately you will see where the message come from, who sent it. You can see, oh, it's from that person, not important. Oh, yes. You can do a playback. No, I never do that. No, I always listen. Then you've got that narration, the text preview. have to admit, in Belgium, it's a bit strange because the voice preview, well, when someone calls you and speaks Dutch, he will take note in English. He won't translate, but it's kind of funny what you get there. So that's something to keep in mind when presenting these features to your customer, that it's in French or in English that you set this up. So what we want you to sell this. We want you to sell Microsoft Unified Communications. And when do you sell this? Is it like, and that's something that Eduardo said, and I really like that phrase, you need to detect a need before positioning the product. And that is really true. So when you go to a customer and the customer tells you, he's never going to tell you, I feel pain, but you need to get a hold of it, and you need to know that, oh, it seems that they need to reduce the cost. Yeah, I seem to have picked that up somewhere. I don't know whatever reception that you picked that up. You need to support many users. And by the way, I think one of the IT pains is as well, people are growing up, and when I look at my son, he's 6 years old, he comes home and he doesn't ask me for, can I put on TV? It's like, why is the internet down? I'm like, yeah, he's six. I mean, people are changing. When people are coming to work at your company or at your partner's company, they might wonder, why don't I have OCS link? Why isn't it possible for me to do conferencing? Why isn't it possible for me to dial someone using my one tool, my communicator tool? So these are things, pains that IT feels as well, and your customers will feel that. Business pains. I'm sure you know them in your own organization. Hope not. But you should be on the lookout for that at your customers. Yeah, you need to make sure manage communications overload. It's like when you open up your inbox, I don't know how many mails you get, but it might be a lot. And when you try to reach, and this is really important, I want to reach someone. How on earth am I going to reach that person? Am I going to call him? Great, I'm going to call him. What phone number am I going to use? Yeah, I've got the home phone number. I've got the mobile phone number. Oh, he's got two. I've got the enterprise number. I can call the reception, whatever. You've got a ton of ways of gaining access to a person. What way should you use? How should you reach that person? One of the advantages that you can bring up with Unified Communications, single point of access, one number that you can call, and he will, OCS link will distribute it to IM presence or whatever number that you are reachable at, something that a user can configure. So these are the things that you need to keep in mind when visiting your customers. Communications today, and that is something that you must have seen. I think most companies have got mail. Hope they do, that they've got mail. There are a lot of customers that have already deployed the solution for web conferencing, audio and video conferencing. Some of them even have got IM and all that stuff. But you can see it's all different buckets. And the most difficult one there is the traditional voice communication. Oh yeah, when a new person arrives, that person needs to have a phone number. I need to call, oh, that's something on the PBX or PABX, whatever. I need to call someone to come in or to change that and all that stuff. Or everything is managed by a different person, by a different team. Different management tools. To manage this environment, you need to use this. To manage this environment, you need to use this. Now, I can be sure that you know how we position Microsoft Unified Communications. Have you counted the pillars? Because this is your future of communications, and this is what we offer you, one of the biggest advantages that we give you. It's a unified inbox. Unified, you've got presence in there. Everything is manageable from a central place. And as you can see, and that is really important, what you see here is on-premise, in the cloud, hybrid. You've been here for an entire day. You've heard about the cloud. You know that it's good and it's out there, that you need to move there. What I want to tell you here is Microsoft Unified Communications. It's your choice, it's your customer's call, but you can do it on-prem, in the cloud, or hybrid. You can have coexistence between the two. There is no need to pick one of them. You can take them all, well, both of them. Now you might say, yeah, great, Unified Communications. We know what Microsoft gives us. Why should we do it? What's the business impact? How on earth are we going to convince the CIO, all the other O's that we've got running around? First thing, decrease costs. When I point that screen, you won't see it. I need to do this. Decrease costs. I think you know that. I think the airport is open already, but yesterday night it was again that we couldn't fly out, fly in. Yeah, had a chat yesterday evening with a colleague of mine that works in the UK, and she said, I can't go home, but I can continue to work thanks to our solution. You don't need to travel. She couldn't travel, but she shouldn't have travel. And so you can reduce travel. We don't need to fly to the States anymore to attend the training. We can use our conferencing tool. Yeah? Communication costs, IT expenses, they can be decreased. I think it's a very important point. Improve business outcomes, that's up to you. You need to you can maximize productivity. Get to know the tools. Yeah, style than I am. If you just want to check, you can use Link, for example, to see, oh, I need to get a hold of Hans, for example. I can just check communicate. Oh, he's online. So I know I can actually bother him or not. Yeah. So these are things that will actually improve your business outcomes and that you need to position at your customers that this will help them. Decrease costs, how? Decrease costs, lower messaging costs. Yeah, these are numbers that we have, and I know it's not very easy to read, but these results, it's not like we said, oh, lower message costs, that would be, let's say that would be this. No, these are actually based on real investigations that we did. Reduce travel expenses, 20 to 40%, yeah. Reduce telephony and audio conferencing charges, without many percentages. These are numbers that you can use, that you can keep on your backhand side to make sure that you convince the people at your customer to get this going. Reduce cost of communication systems and lower real estate and facility costs. If you are eager to find out how we do it, this Sunday, it's an open bedrijvendag. I say that in English, say, come and visit Microsoft offices and you can see for your own how we do that. Improve business outcomes, that's another reason. Decrease costs was the first one. Second one, improve business outcomes. Improve your team productivity. I think that's kind of clear when looking at the features. Complete your projects faster because it's easier to get in touch with someone. You've got a different ways of getting in touch with people. Shorten sales cycle, I think that might help you out. Yeah, it's easier to shorten that sales cycle. Resolve your customer issues faster, they can get in touch with you sooner to tell their complaints. So that might be very useful to know. Attract and retain employees, that varies by customer, of course. So in the end, we're looking at UC, decrease costs, improve business outcomes. That's UC, unified communications. One of the biggest examples, and this is a nice slide, is one of the showcases that we've got published on our website, is Nextel. Now, this is the typical slide that you're going to use when first talking to a customer. We want to introduce you to OCS and voice. Because look, are you ready? This is before, and now you see after. Wow. I'll show that again. Before. See that many dots and squares and all that, and the triangle and all that? After, I think you can see it's a lot less. So this is, if you need to convince customers, like, you can decrease costs and make sure that you rearrange everything. These are things that can get you going, that you can get you that conversation up and running. Yeah? So this is something. The Nextel case is published on the internet. You can gain access to it. I put in a short URL to the Microsoft showcase. But still, this is like, great. Unified communications, I know we're not alone out here offering that solution. Why would you go for Microsoft? Because it's the best, of course. Yeah. But why? Four reasons, and you can see them here on the slide. No matter which device, it has been emphasized a lot of times today, you can use your PC, whatever PC you're using. You can use your mobile device. I don't care if you're using an iPad, an iPhone, as long as you can configure it to connect to our systems, and you can. Or you can use a web browser. If you want, of course, Internet Explorer is there. Have you tried 9, the beta? No, you should. You should. It's really good. It's really fast, very performant. Go and do it tonight. Yeah? So the web or whatever browser. These are all the devices you can use. Is there any device missing? I'm not talking about a fridge or anything. So I think that all the devices that people use to connect are listed there. So every device you can use to connect to our systems. First major pillar, streamline communications. Second reason, increase efficiency. Very important, flexibility, yeah. Amplify protection and control, really important. We want to know who's gaining access to our systems. We want to control that. We want to be able to keep track of it. And then provide a unified and extensible platform. I know you've heard it. Yeah, you know, we buy it, we install it, we cannot change anything about it. No, you can extend it. It's an extensible platform. So I'll dive into these four reasons in more detail. Streamline communication, that's better. Click to communicate from Microsoft Office applications. Open up your Outlook. You get a mail from someone, you get that little square in Outlook 2010, and you can actually see, oh, that person is available. I can just right-click and start a chat from there. The user getting that conversation window will see, oh, she wants to talk to me about, and he will see the subject of the mail. So it's got a little bit of background, yeah? Very easy to demonstrate and very convincing when doing a demo on that. Connect people in new ways, anytime, anywhere. Yeah, streamlined communications also means that you need to bring conferencing to everyone. Not only those that have a link installed, but also to those that haven't got a link installed yet. Yeah? So that's bring conferencing to everyone. You've seen this Microsoft Office Outlook 2010. You see the little square. You see that this is Terry. By the way, if you open up Link and you go to the properties of a contact in Link on your contact list, you will see the exact same pane. The contact card is the same across applications. Yeah? That's also a very great advantage. Another thing, reply to email with an IM. As when you reply to an email with an IM, so you can just click that and say, start an IM conversation. User will see the subject of the mail in the conversation. Yeah? And escalate to voice and video chat. This requires configuration, of course, but it's absolutely possible. And did I already mention this, your client who's seeing this doesn't need to know, well, he may know, but he doesn't care if it's on-prem or online. He doesn't care because it's got the same features. As long as he can get this, he's happy. Share your desktop with a single click. I've got a problem. We've got that at Microsoft. When we have a problem, we can call the help desk. It's called Fast Help. And then they say, yeah, can I take over your screen, which is kind of funny. They take over your screen and you look at, oh, what are you doing? So, but it's really easy, very simple to use. It's a single click. Another reason, streamlined communication, another reason that we connect people new ways, anytime, anywhere. I think you've seen this slide. This is quite straightforward. On your PC, if you've got your link. On your mobile device, you've got a communicator mobile client. And on the web, you've got the Link web app that you can use to connect to other users. So it doesn't matter where you are, what device you're using, you can connect to the system and use all the features. You see it as well. Yeah. So there you go. Even on your voicemail, you can see that you've got a voicemail on that system that you can play. This record does require Windows Mobile, and that you can actually say, play that voicemail or call another phone to play that for me. Yeah. The last reason, streamline communications, bring conferencing to everyone. Whatever you choose, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, telepresence, you know our round table. Here's the round table, so that you can see everyone who's in the room, because you know those people, they are sitting there not paying attention. You can see that with a 360-degree. Yeah, that's our round table. Wherever you are, again, cannot stress it enough, if you're outside the corporate environment, if you're on the inside, it doesn't really matter. You can connect as much as you like. Do what you want to do. We have tool. You can use it. It's really important. If you want the features, it doesn't matter where you are, what you use, you can do it. The second reason that you want to position Microsoft Unified Communications with your customer is amplify protection and control. Compliance is a heavy word, but we offer you the means to achieve and maintain that compliance. We offer you the means to safeguard sensitive information. I don't want anyone to read my mail that I sent to another person. I don't want anyone for which the mail was not intended to be to open up that mail. So we'll give you the means for that. And reduce the risk of malware and spam. I think it's about 90% of all mails are spam these days. Don't think you want your service to be busy scanning all that spam and viruses. Keep it out. Reduce the risk of malware and spam. What do we mean with that? First pillar, achieve and maintain compliance, preserve data. In Exchange 2010, we offer you an online archive. We offer you the ability of moving messages to that archive. We offer you the ability to automate this. Yeah, it's not a PSD. We store it in the server. We don't touch it. We don't change the message. We don't do anything with it. We just keep it. We don't want you to... I think you know that you've got a lot of customers that complain about PSDs. If anyone doesn't have a customer who complains about personal folder files, great. Because it's a pain, PSD files, because they are everywhere. Online Archive can help you there, can save you there. Now, in case you say, yeah, but we really need to keep that data. We really need it. We don't want users to be able to click that delete button, because we've got the delete button. Well, we have the ability in exchange to enable litigation hold, thereby disabling the delete button. Could be useful if you suspect people from sending mails and deleting them afterwards. You can put them on litigation hold. We've got the means for you to preserve data, to archive and maintain compliance. Discover data. Where's my mail? I think it's a mail that I sent to someone. I don't remember who exactly, but I do remember that that word was in it or something like it. It's like, yeah, and how on earth am I going to find that mail again? You can configure your exchange environment to allow you to search through multiple mailboxes. And you need to give that right to someone. It's not like everybody in exchange, in an exchange environment, can open up everyone's mailbox. No, that's not what we do. We give you the right to create a discovery officer, and he can do that. So you make someone you trust a discovery officer. Yeah. And of course, report on email as part of the audit procedure. Hope you never had that, but if you do, or if your customer does, if you need to present them with all the mails containing certain keywords, this is your solution. We give you that. Second reason that you may want, that you should sell Microsoft UC contains this: achieve and maintain compliance. Safeguard sensitive information. When I send an email to someone, you know how it is. Typically, we show you the example of a mail with it in bold and in big, underlined, in italic, everything in red or in green. Do not forward this mail. What happens? There are people that will forward that mail. I mean, do not forward, oh, it's very important, I'll just forward it. This is what you can do. IRM, we give you the means of preventing users from distributing information that they're not allowed to. As said, mail tips can help you out. Very nice example of a mail tip to keep that in mind. If you send an email to 100 users and you put one person in BCC, the blind carbon copy, if that person receives the email and does a reply to all, you will get a mail tip that states, no one actually knows that you got that mail because you were in blind carbon copy. Could be useful that you get that you are warned about that before you send that mail. It's not like Outlook will kick you to prevent you from pushing the send button, but you were warned, so that's something. And you can create your own custom mail tips. Can be useful. Apply rights controls to messages, so that's why I wanted to tell you. RMS, meaning that before a user can open up that mail or forward the mail, you need to be authenticated. Could be very useful. So if you say, do not forward this mail, just take out the ability of forwarding the mail. Could be a lot easier. Prevent users from making mistakes by accident. Third reason, to make sure that you're compliant and all that stuff, reduce the risk of malware and spam. The first step, now I'm back to the cloud, but if you're a customer and he has everything on-premise and we don't want to move to the cloud because we are scared, we don't want it. That's it. First thing that you may want to talk him into, or that you may want to present to him, not talking into, is Forefront Online Protection for Exchange. Make sure that they, what they can do is, on the internet, it's a hosted service, send all the spam and viruses in the cloud and they will do the check. They will check for spam and viruses. We've got an uptime with FOP, which is a fun abbreviation, with FOP of 100%, which is a lot. Which is kind of, you could say, it is actually on an uptime of always. Have a look at it. It's the first step to move your exchange services into the cloud. Yeah, make sure spam and viruses are in there. Set your policies. You control it. You've got a hand in it, but you don't have the spam and the viruses themselves. Could be very useful that you get rid of those things. And keep your on-premise software or keep it in the cloud. It's your choice. You can choose. Third reason, so we've already covered two. Third reason, it's why Microsoft UC? Because it's efficient, it's flexible, and it's reliable. So, yeah, don't be scared. It is. First reason why it's efficient, flexible, and reliable, simplify management. Sounds good enough. It was always a bit of a problem. You were either an administrator of Microsoft or you were not. You could do everything or you could do nothing. What we do now is we give you the means that you can say who can do what on which objects. It's really granular. You decide who can do what. It's so granular, you can even decide that person can change his phone number, that person can't. It's very granular. Simplify management, fairly easy, and it will improve administrative productivity. Professional grade reliability, availability. We offer you all the means that you need to be online all the time. On-premise and online, we do that for you. Maximize IT resources by moving to the cloud. We've already seen that today. So the first one, unified administration. It's one management tool. I'm not going to say that it's the shell, but I like the shell. You've got the management shell that you can use, but you've got the tools that you're used to, the management console. If you're used to working with a computer, you won't be scared of opening up that management console. You can use a web interface to manage a lot of things. You can use a command line interface looking shell to manage things. So everyone will have a means to manage everything. And it's a single directory, Active Directory. Yeah? So that helps you to manage everything. Empowered user. You decide, your customers can say, I want users that are able to do this, 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 but they can't do this. How many times have you faced that need and that you have to say, sorry, can't do that. Now you say, yeah, it's not a problem. It's just a few clicks and it will work. And it will. You decide who can do what. Very important. Provide provisional grade reliability. I'm not going to entertain you with the database availability group and how good it is and how effective it is. It is. You're online all the time. I mean, if that server goes offline, this one will take over. If that goes offline, it will be this server that takes over. Will your clients notice that? No. Really? Well, maybe that one user that just at that time presses send and he needs to click send again. But users won't really mind. So this is really a very high change in Exchange 2010 that we introduced. Flexible storage options. We need to reduce costs. Use JBOD storage. You know that, just a bunch of disks. Yeah, you can do it. We have improved Exchange that you can use cheap storage. The last reason for flexibility and reliability was the cloud. A lot has been said about moving online. Not going to tell you any more about it. Just know, whatever you do, it's on-prem, it's online, or it's coexistence. Embrace it. Don't be scared. It's there. Embrace the cloud. Benefit from the online choice. Yeah, make sure that you've got a choice. Yeah, realize the cost savings. I think that Danny and Advano have talked about this sufficiently, so I'm just going to go over this. It's very easy to deploy. Keep this in the back of your mind. Tell your customers, give them the choice when they're talking about migrating their current infrastructure to Microsoft UC. We've seen three reasons. And now we go to the last reasons, extensible. It's not installing it and you cannot do anything else with it. We need to customize it. You can integrate it and enhance existing investments. The offer choice that you've got in voice. It's not like when you deploy voice, turn off all your PBXs. Nope, we want that. You can do that. But you can put link next to your existing voice deployment. And you can start to transition easily in the way that you want it to be, the way that your customer wants it. And extend your communications to business processes. As you know, first one, integrate and enhance existing investments. You've got an Active Directory. If you face a customer that is currently running Exchange 2003, they've got Active Directory, yeah? Try to convince them with the previous slides, high availability, cheap storage, archive, reliability, and all that stuff to get to Exchange 2010. What do they need? Well, they need cheap storage. That's not too expensive. They've got the choice to move online, stay on-prem, And they can use their current Active Directory. So it's already there. It's not too much. It's not a change like it was previously. Yeah. Click to communicate. Learn them. Give them training on how that works. We interoperate with room-based video conferencing. So I didn't put a name on this, but I think you know what we mean. Integrate with existing PBX systems. We offer you that. SIP trunking. It's just like putting in your link environment, establish a SIP trunk, and you can call the entire world. You can configure it, of course, who can dial who and whatever. And these are the existing choices. I'll show them all three at once because I can see the clock ticking. Replace, enhance, and add. Replace is really like replace it. PBX is out of, well, it's lost. We don't know anyone anymore who manages it. We either upgrade it or we have a look at another solution. That's where you come up with, hey, Link offers you voice features. Explain the voice features of Link. Yeah? Enhance, if you say, yeah, but if users have, they have an Exchange deployment, they go to Exchange 2010, introduce Link, IAM and presence conferencing, and then you can say, hey, you know what? What you can do, if you introduce Link, you can use, if you see a phone on a web page, you can just say, click, dial that number, if you've got Link in the background. Yeah. If you say, yeah, but I've got an existing PBX environment, no worries, we offer you the UCMA, we offer you an entire pack that you can program everything to extend it to your customers' needs. We've got it all. Add it, well, we try to give you what you need. Yeah. Add it, yeah, eliminate the costs, yeah. Make sure, add it and make sure that you can communicate with one another. Use the PC for full audio, video, and web conferencing experience. One tiny little thing when talking about voice, and I want to stress that. Everything I've said so far was either online, on-prem, coexistence. Offering voice currently is not online. Keep that in mind. That requires you to have the Link deployed on-prem at this moment. Yeah? Extend your communications to business process. You can see a lot of line of business applications. Yeah, you can extend it, that you can see, oh, that person is online. Yeah, I want to know more about why is that figure like this. Communicate, integrate it. If you want to know examples of this, you can always talk to Danny. They've done it a ton of times, and there are already partners here in Belgium that do that as well. Yeah, as well, present line of business applications. Some examples that have been included in this slide. Yeah, you see here another oil and gas company. That integrated presence with the line of business application. So when people visit that web interface, they can see persons online, let's chat, let's communicate. So you see, we've seen that, why Microsoft Unified Communications, streamlined communications, compliance, flexibility, extensibility, remember those terms. And another thing that I want to show you is the Gartner's The magic quadrant for unified communications of 2010 puts us in the leaders quadrant, which is not bad. Otherwise, we wouldn't show it. No, not true. But we show it anyway, so we are there. Yeah, we are there. When looking at the voice system, so when comparing the Gartner magic quadrant for corporate telephony system of 2010, we are not in the leaders quadrant. Would be a bit strange. We are here in the visionaries. So that means, what Gartner means with visionaries is, we have got the capabilities of growing into the leaders quadrant, but we lack the fact that we have been doing this for 15 years. So we are in the visionary quadrant. So that's a good quadrant to be in, especially when you come to think of it, when looking at telephony, we haven't been saying that long that Link can be your telephony system. So keep that in mind when going to your customers and talking about Link and positioning it as a link, as a voice system as well. So what do you do next? Next to downloading Internet Explorer 9, yeah, tonight. What can you do next? Sign up for a business value assessment. We've talked about that. Get started with UC. Don't be scared. Get to know Link, yeah? Get to know Link. Get to know Exchange 2010. If you've got a question about any of these technologies, do not hesitate to harass your partner account manager. Well, I wouldn't say harass, but just contact them, yeah? And if you need a reference, because sometimes people say, yeah, we want a reference. We want to know how other people did it. I've put in a few showcases. You can go, there are available online from Shell, from BGC, from Sprint. That we, you remember the fancy slide with all the dots and squares that were only four after deploying OCS? That's Nextel, yeah. So we've got that one. And there are a ton of other ones, Crédit Agricole, Schlumberger, Kelwood, yeah. If you want to know showcases of BPOS deployments, they are there as well. Get in touch with your partner account manager. He will or she will help you to get a hold of them. I've put in how to buy Link. It's more like we work with licenses, client access licenses, server licenses. If you want to know more, because we've changed a few things with Link, because Link is new, so it's new, have a look at these slides. And I even put it on the slide. Contact your PAM if you need assistance. They'll be happy to help you out. And that's kind of what I wanted to tell you. You can download the link, you can find a link partner, be a link partner, and sign up for a free trial of the online service. Go to microsoft.com, WAC online, you don't see it, WAC online, using your IE9, and sign up. Try it out. Don't be scared. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can try it out for 30 days. Try it out, you'll be impressed, I'm sure. And that was it. That was kind of the introducing Microsoft UC.